Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is fabulous, fantastic Friday, February 10th, 2012. We've got a great group of people on the line this morning. I'm really excited. I want to say welcome. We're excited to have you on the line. If you are a continued, dedicated, committed participant of our Think and Grow Rich Mastermind, welcome. We love you. We appreciate you. And if you're just joining us, welcome to the call. Excited to have you on the line. I hope that this will be something that you'll implement into your daily routine. You know, the purpose of this call, I'd like to reiterate from time to time, is to help anybody who wants to become a citizen of another kingdom. That's a line from the book, The Science of Getting Rich, which we're actually going to be starting to go through today. And I love that line because it really beautifully illustrates what can happen to each of us when we start to take control of our own thoughts and we start to take control of the beliefs that we have and we start to realize that we absolutely do have the power within us to control our state of mind, to control our state of being, to control our happiness, to control our joy, to control the amount of wealth that we have into our lives. And when we really start to get into the swing of this process, it really does feel like you become a citizen of another kingdom. And so this is a call that is 100% dedicated and committed to helping as many people as possible, including myself, including the other hosts of the call, to helping all of us come together on a daily basis, mastermind these principles, understand them, apply them, support each other in our endeavors to do exactly that, become a citizen of another kingdom. Now, I want to give you a couple of cautions. This morning as I was in the gym, I was actually listening to an audio program by Bob Green, I think was his name, and it was actually a diet and exercise audio that I was listening to. And one of the things that was interesting to me is he pointed out a couple of principles that relate to diet and exercise that I think are also very, very relevant to what we're doing here in endeavoring to enhance our mindset. And I just want to share those with you. The first principle is be patient with yourself. Don't expect too much too fast. This process is not superficial. And what I mean by that is this is not a, hey, give me some money and then instantly your life will be better. You know, we're not selling things like that. What we're doing on this call is we're providing real solutions. And real solutions, things that are real, things that really have value, often take time. What we're doing on this call is we're rooting out and uncovering false beliefs, disempowering beliefs, thought processes that have been taking place over an entire lifetime. So don't expect things to happen immediately. Be patient with yourself. Make a commitment to be on this call over time, and you're going to see some amazing things in your life as you work on building this foundation. Now, the second thing that this Bob Green said this morning that I thought was very profound is he said, in addition to not expecting too much too fast, he said, don't try to do too much too fast. Start with simple things. He says one of the things that he's noticed in the diet and exercise world is somebody will get started and they think, oh, I've got to do all these different things. I've got to radically alter my diet. I've got to get in the gym for 2 hours a day. I've got to run 3 miles. And they try to do too much too fast, and so they end up quitting, getting frustrated, not getting to where they want to go. And his recommendation is to start with little things and implement these little things. So a couple little things that each of us can do. One is just get on the call. Make it a habit Monday through Friday, every morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, that you're going to get on a call like this. You're going to be on this call. You're going to get these ideas in your head. You're going to associate with positive, passionate, committed people from all over the country. And you're going to just be on the call. That's something simple you can do. This call is live every morning, Monday through Friday. It's also recorded. So for whatever reason, if you can't be on the call live, definitely try to get through the recording. We've got a Think and Grow Rich page on Facebook. If you go to We Are Think and Grow Rich, the recordings will be posted there. Just make that little commitment to be on this call Monday through Friday. And the second little thing you can do is repeat the major definite purpose and self-confidence confidence formula to yourself on a daily basis as a starting point for controlling your thoughts. This major definite purpose in the self-confidence formula is found in the book Think and Grow Rich, and that's something that I do every day. It's something that's changed my life, and it's something that we want to invite everybody almost every day on this call to do, because it's something that can have profound changes and profound transformations, shifts in your thinking just by doing those simple things. So a couple other things. This call is for you. We're, again, as I mentioned earlier, I'm committed, we're committed to making this the best daily community that you and the people you love can plug into for mindset development. So a couple of things moving forward. I'm really excited. We're going to have a little bit more female representation on the line, and I won't announce who this is going to be, but we have a lady, a friend, an entrepreneur who's been committed to this call for quite a long time. She's been on this call every single day, and in addition to that, she is somebody who has developed incredible amounts of wealth throughout her life, so she's going to be assisting us moving forward in hosting this call, and I'm really excited about that, to have her expertise and her experience joining us, and I hope that it will encourage more female participation, as again, this is a call for everybody. Second thing I want to mention, if you're on the line and you haven't spoken yet, we want to hear from you. You know, one of my team members yesterday was, she's been on the call, but yesterday in a Skype chat, she said, "Paul, I heard something on a call yesterday that Doc Fran said that help me recognize a false belief that I've had that has been holding me back." And it was just like, you know, somebody turned a light on in a dark room. And I thought, wow, that's incredible. We want to hear those stories. We want to hear those experiences. On this call, we have leaders who have developed incredible amounts of income streams throughout their lifetimes. I mean, you would be shocked, the people on this call, the amount of money they've been able to develop. So if you have questions, definitely this is a safe place where you can come out and ask questions. And so definitely share with us your experiences. Ask questions at the latter part of this call. And what we as moderators are going to do a better job of moving this forward is we're going to endeavor to keep the introductory message down to about 10 to 20 minutes. If you're just joining us, you know that every morning on this call, we have a foundational message. We use the book Think and Grow Rich as the foundational text, and occasionally we go through other foundational mindset, wealth philosophy type books. We're going to start going through The Science of Getting Rich. But anyway, on a daily basis, we go through a message from these foundational works. And then we have mastermind discussion where we open up the lines and just share with each other and really grow as a group. So as moderators, we're going to try to keep the introductory message down to about 10 to 20 minutes, therefore leaving plenty of time for group discussion and masterminding. And I know that this is going to be very, very valuable for all of us as we do that. So that being said, I do want to introduce our speaker, our guide for the message today, a good friend of mine, somebody who has achieved incredible things in his life, somebody who has been actually paid huge amounts of money to share these principles with large audiences all throughout the United States of America. Mr. Bill Hartraft, are you on the line with me, sir?
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, yeah, good morning, Bill. Hey,
good
Bill,
morning,
real quick, too.
I didn't get a chance to say my name, where I was calling from, yes?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, I hoped you were on the line because I didn't hear your name in the beginning, so I was so glad to hear you say good morning when I said, Bill, are you there? Whew, a little bit of sweat I can wipe off my face. I did want to mention, Bill, I know we talked about going through a couple of chapters. I went through this last night, and there is so much in just this chapter one.
Right,
you're only going to do chapter one. Okay, perfect.
I'm only going to do chapter one. Plus, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the preface, because I think it's so important that the people that have been dedicated to our call hear the preface, because it is very powerful. It's from Wallace Wattles directly, and it's how you should approach this book in sort of along the lines of what you were talking about before about our call. This is how we should approach this book.
Perfect.
The Sciences of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. This book is awesome, and for those of you that don't know, when I first came on this call, this is the book we were doing, and they were towards the end, and I loved the ending, and so much so that I wanted to go from the beginning, but then we started writing Think and Grow Rich, and I wanted to stay right along with the group and not get behind and whatnot. And every so often, you know, I'd go to my computer and I'd just kind of, you know, pick and choose. You know, I'd look at the different categories that I, or different chapters that I wanted to read, and I did. And oh my God, I love this book. I really love this book. Don't get me wrong, Think and Grow Rich is still my Bible, but I love this book. So here's the preface. This book is pragmatical, not philosophical. A practical manual, not a treatise upon theories. It is intended for the men and women whose most pressing need is for money, who wish to get rich first and philosophize afterward. It is for those who want results and who are willing to take the conclusions of science as a basis for action, without going into all the processes by which those conclusions were reached. It is expected that the reader will take the fundamental statements upon faith, just as he would take statements concerning a law of electrical action if they were promulgated by a Marconi or an Edison, and taking the statements upon faith, that he will prove their truth by acting upon them without fear or hesitation. Every man or woman who does this will certainly get rich. For the science herein applied is an exact science, and failure is impossible. In writing this book, I have sacrificed all other considerations to plainness and simplicity of style, so all that might understand the plan of action laid down herein was deduced from the conclusions of philosophy. It has been thoroughly tested and bears the supreme test of practical experiment. It works. Very truly yours, Wallace D. Wattles. Oh, boy, I'm so excited. I'm like a new kid in a candy store this morning. This is Chapter 1, The Right to be Rich. Whatever may be said in praise of poverty, the fact remains that it is not possible to live a really complete or successful life unless one is rich. No one can rise to his greatest possible height in talent or soul development unless he has plenty of money. For to unfold the soul and to develop talent, he must have many things to use. And he cannot have these things unless he has money to buy them with. A person develops in mind, soul, and body by making use of these things. And society is so organized that man must have money in order to become the possessor of things. Therefore, the basis of all advancement must be the science of getting rich. The object of all life is development, and everything that lives has an inalienable right to all development that it is capable of attaining. A person's right to life means his right to have the free and unrestricted use of all the things which may be necessary to his fullest mental, spiritual, and physical unfolding, or in other words, his right to be rich. In this book, I shall not speak of riches in a figurative way. To be really rich does not mean to be satisfied or contented with a little. No one ought to be satisfied with a little if he is capable of using and enjoying more. The purpose of nature is the advancement and unfoldment of life. And everyone should have that and can contribute to the power, elegance, beauty, and richness of life. To be content with less is sinful. The person who owns all he wants for the living of all the life he is capable of living is rich, and no person who has not plenty of money can save all he wants. life has advanced so far and become so complex that even the most ordinary man or woman requires a great amount of wealth in order to live in a manner that even approaches completeness. Every person naturally wants to become all that they are capable of becoming. This desire to realize innate possibilities is inherent in human nature. We cannot help wanting to be all that we can be. Success in life is becoming what you want to be. You can become what you want to be only by making use of things, and you can have the free use of things only as you become rich enough to buy them. To understand the science of getting rich is therefore the most essential of all knowledge. There's nothing wrong in wanting to get rich. The desire for riches is really the desire for a richer, fuller, and more abundant life, and that desire is praiseworthy. The person who does not desire to live more abundantly is abnormal. And so the person who does not desire to have money enough to buy all he wants is abnormal. There are three motives for which we live. We live for the body, we live for the mind, we live for the soul. No one of these is better or holier than the other. All are alike desirable. And no one of the three, body, mind, or soul, can live fully if either of the others is cut short of full life and expression. It is not right or noble to live only for the soul and deny mind or body. It is wrong to live for the intellect and deny body or soul. We are all acquainted with the loathsome consequences of living for the body and denying both mind and soul. And we see that real life means the complete expression of all that a person can give forth through body, mind, and soul. Whatever he can say, no one can be really happy or satisfied unless his body is living fully in its every function, and unless the same is true of his mind and soul. Wherever there is unexpressed possibility or function not performed, there is unsatisfied desire. Desire is possibility seeking, expression or function seeking, performance. A person cannot live fully in body without good food, comfortable clothing, and warm shelter, and without freedom from excessive toil. Rest and recreation are also necessary to his physical life. One cannot fully live in mind without books and a time to study them, without opportunity for travel and observation, or without intellectual companionship. To live fully in mind, a person must have intellectual recreations. I'm sorry. To live fully in mind, a person must have intellectual recreations and must surround himself with all the objects of art and beauty he is capable of using and appreciating. To live fully in soul, a person must have love, and love is denied fullest expression by poverty. A person's highest happiness is found in the bestowal of benefits on those he loves. Love finds its most natural and spontaneous expression in giving. The individual who has nothing to give cannot fill his place as a spouse or parent, as a citizen, or as a human being. It is in the use of material things that a person finds full life for his body, develops his mind, and unfolds his soul. It is therefore of supreme importance to each individual to be rich. It is perfectly right that you should desire to be rich. If you are a normal man or woman, you cannot help doing so. It is perfectly right that you should give your best attention to the science of getting rich, and for it is the noblest and most necessary of all studies. If you neglect this study, you are derelict in your duty to yourself. to God and humanity, for you can render to God and humanity no greater service than to make the most of who you are, of yourself. That's the end of that chapter. And I was going to get into the second chapter, but when I read this last night, wow, I got so excited. And this book, it just, it's a little different application than Think and Grow Rich. And I don't know, what I love about this first chapter is literally what's happening to me. You know, so many different facets. I've learned so many different things from so many of you on this call. That's why this call is so powerful. I'm not better than anybody else on this call. Paul's not better than anybody else on this call. We have different talents, different abilities, maybe, but we're not better than anybody. And so when people put out their feelings, it's just like I've said many, many, many times before, somebody will say something and it will trigger somebody else in the group. And then Paul will say something and it will trigger somebody else. And Denise might say something and it triggers another thought, and so on and so on and so on. So we don't know what our personal triggers are until something is said a certain way or a certain phrase. I think Paul was referring to this in the beginning of the call with regards to somebody that he talked to yesterday. She had something triggered, and bingo, she was able to relate to it. And so that's why masterminding and all of us putting in our own two cents really helps the masses out there, because for those that are afraid to come on the line or think that what they have to say has no meaning, and Melvin, I know, would get down on that, in the sense that everybody has meaning. That's what he would just get down on, that in the sense that you are just as powerful, you are, have just as much meaning as each and every one of us. So we'd love for you to try and get on this call and put your two cents worth in, because what you may have to say, those of you that have been hiding in the back on this call and just listening, what you may have to say may trigger something in somebody else and completely change their life forever. Completely change their life. Think about the statements that have been made, the little things that have been said that completely change somebody else's life, like mine. So many people have said things. I mean, Mike Nelson said something the other day. I forget whether it was on this call or a personal call. And then Denise Fowler and Marlise and Marcia and Rick and Michael Haney from Maryland. I'm just kidding, Mike. And Cynthia from New York. Haven't heard from her in a while. So many people that, you know, have comments and have made great phrases and great statements on this line. It's been wonderful. It's really been helping me. And that's what this first chapter is all about. It's all about working on ourselves, working on our souls, working on our bodies, and working on our minds. And that's what's so great about this, because, you know, when we work for somebody else, we only get paid 25% of what we're worth, and we only use our mind about 25% or 20% of that, because we're doing what somebody else tells us to do. When you're in business for yourself, you all of a sudden have a greater purpose. You have to create that defining purpose within yourself. That purpose has to become a part of you, and then you go out and you disseminate. You disseminate what you know about and what you want to share with other people, because other people is what is going to create your company and make your company grow. And that is what's going to fulfill you and give you the life that you so dream about. As long as you have a defining purpose and a definite chief aim, those two things, and then you'll be able to fulfill everybody around you. And it's this is exciting stuff, because I see so many changes in my own personal life. I mean, if somebody were to call me and ask me, so what are your changes? Oh, my God, there's so many, too many to go through on this call right now. And I'm not saying that. I'm not just saying that. I'm serious. Too many to go through on this call right now, just in my own personal life. And I'm starting to see now, Paul, something I said to you way back on a personal call you and I had when we first met. I think I shared with you back then that there was a kind of tier of living, a kind of life of living above what everybody seems to settle for, that I hadn't been to since the late 80s and 90s. And I'm starting to open the door. I can see the light on the other side of that door, and I'm starting to walk in, and it's phenomenal. And it's of not all understanding, but understanding more about life, understanding more about me, understanding more about how certain things work on me. And if I just apply a few principles, a few techniques of positive self-uplifting goods, techniques, applications, if I just do a few of those things, a few of the things that we've done in Think and Grow Rich, and now this, The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Waddles, wow, I am so freaking excited. And that's basically it, Paul. I'm all out of stuff for this chapter for now, but I'm really excited about the future because I can feel those things changing, mind, body, soul, in every facet of my life, and I'm living it, and I'm enjoying it, and maybe it's only new, but I'm really liking it a lot to stay with it. So I appreciate you, Paul. And now back to the famous or the infamous Paul Hutchings. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that very much. I do want to jump right back to the text of what we covered, and there's one thing. I think this chapter, The Science of Getting Rich, that Bill read, is so important for one major reason. And I just want to tell you quickly, there's somebody in my life that I love a lot, and this individual believes that in order for you to get rich, you have to diminish the wealth of other people. He's a great person, goes to church, one of the best people I know, serves people, loves people, is actually a family member. But he has this belief in his mind that in order to generate wealth, you have to take or diminish other people. And this chapter in The Science of Getting Rich, I think, is so important because it flies in the face of a false belief that many people have, including myself at one point in time, and that belief is it is bad to become rich, or that to become rich you have to be dishonest, you have to steal, you have to take from others. There are all these beliefs that are embedded in so many people, and this chapter flies right in the face of it because it actually comes out and says, it's actually wrong to not want to be rich. It's wrong to not want to develop yourself. It's wrong to not want to live your fullest expression of life. And so it really is a foundational, it's a foundational philosophy. And this whole book is a philosophy. This whole book that we're going to go through has had a dramatic impact on my philosophy. And many of the wealthy people that I know, whether they've read this book or not, I've noticed that their philosophies are right in line with everything that we're going to be learning as we cover this book, The Science of Getting Rich. So I hope that you're excited, because I sure am, to go back through this one more time. So that's all I have to say. I want to go ahead and... All right, folks. Star 6, the lines are open. Star 6 to unmute your line.
Hey, Paul?
Hey, Paul, Mike, no.
Yes. Let's see.
I got to jump in here.
Mike. Yeah, please.
And I'm sorry, but I want to hog this just a little bit because one of the things that I said is that everything we should do with our minds, we should use it as a sifter and not just to just buy everything.
Yes.
Balance is the key to life, and any extreme is going to hurt you. What you said about the person thinking money is an evil thing, that's off base, and just being rich for the sake of being rich is off base as well. There's so much greed going on in our society today because of a misunderstanding of that. We have some people with far more money than they could ever use, and they're looking to get more of it. We've got countries right now that are unraveling because of people that have misused their own people, and even today are bombing and killing people because they want to hold on to all the power and all the riches they can have. There's a certain insanity for a man to want to own 5 or 6 or 7 automobiles. What is he going to do with them? There's some people that have far more land than it's just sitting there, and yet you have other people with so lacking so much. So if you don't have balance in your life, I mean, that's truly being rich. Being rich is having the body, mind, and soul, but it's having these things in balance. It's having these things in understanding. You know, if you don't have those balances, it's off base. So there's some things that were just read that I have to throw out of my sifter. I will not buy into all of that. I understand being rich, being all that we can be, but it's not all in terms of just dollars and cents and money. Anyway, I just wanted to get that out there, and I'll stop here for a minute, and back to you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Melvin. Anyone that's listening to this call, we always encourage everybody, don't just take everything that's said on this call or anywhere for that matter. You have to sift, just like Melvin said. One of the things that I'll draw back to this chapter that he did say, that Wallace Wattles did say, he says we live for three motives, the body, the mind, and the soul, and no one of these is better or holier than the other. All are alike and desirable. So I do think that he does talk about balance here, and I don't think after reading this entire book, as we continue on, you'll get the sense here that he's not saying that we should be rich at the sake of all else. He is saying that there is balance. He is also just he's saying that being wealthy is not an evil thing. But I do appreciate those comments, Melvin. Very, very good points. Mike, go ahead, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to get across the cheerleaders that are on the phone every day, that get a chance to talk every day. I just sit back and think, you know, it wasn't that long ago when I was sitting and waiting to get my 2 cents worth in. And I'm not putting anybody down because I'm just as guilty as the next person. But there are people out there that do want to say something. I know my brother's on the phone right now. He has tried to say get his 2 cents worth in, and it just makes you grow huge when you finally get the intestinal fortitude to be able to get out and talk in public like I am doing right now, like you're doing, like everybody gets a chance to do. I guess I'd like to see a time when sometime during the call that people get a chance to get the courage up and do it. That's all I got to say.
Thanks, Mike. Absolutely.
Yep.
And now is that time. So please come out.
Yes.
If you haven't spoken before,
yes.
We want to hear from you.
Paul.
Yes.
Hey, Mark in California. Yeah,
hey,
I'm glad
Mark.
That you're. Hey, I'm glad that you're extending the time for open calls, because I think there are a lot of people out there that want to get in, and there's people that dominate the call, and rightfully so. You guys are the monitors or moderators, but I think it's a good move to maybe shorten the opening, and you'll get more people stepping out.
Awesome. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that feedback.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to say what was just said is very true, and I don't know where you came up with it to say what you said earlier today about making more room for it and all, but it's absolutely true, and it's the comment that was just made is also true, and it's going to just enrich this call so much more so. But people, please go ahead and start stepping out there. Quit being so afraid and be heard and speak up. I'm noticing sometimes you open it up there and everybody's still holding back. Jump out here. We'd love to hear from you. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Melvin. Yeah, please. Is anybody out there ever had the belief that being wealthy is a bad thing? Is anybody have it currently or have had it? And if so, share. How did you overcome it? Do you think what we're saying is wrong or right? You know, step out. We want to hear from you.
Hi, Paul. It's Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to share that I was raised with the belief that having money or having riches were, it was a bad thing. And the prime example that was shown in my life was that I had an uncle that inherited quite a bit of money from my grandfather. And, of course, through the course of the years, he never shared with his sisters and brothers, one being my mother. And so through the family, I'm sure there was a lot of bitterness and what have you. And, you know, I used to see him. He would ride around in the different cars and, you know, more or less like flaunt what he had. And so that was the example that I had growing up. But through the years, as I started to enrich myself with personal development, I dropped that false belief. It was a false belief. Everybody's not like that. And there are a lot of wealthy people that do nice things, you know, share things and what have you. But then, you know, you have those that do and those that don't. But I just wanted to share. That was a belief that I had to get over.
Linda, that's so valuable what you just said. I think it illustrates one of the challenges that we have as people, and that challenge is oftentimes we will form a belief based off of a little tiny narrow piece of the world that we see, and there's so much more out there. And what you just shared is you know, you formed your opinion from that little piece of your life that you saw about wealthy people, and then you learned as you experienced more, as you saw more, as you took in more, you realize that that was perhaps not the best belief to have. So thank you very much, Linda. Great comment.
Hi, Paula. It's Bernie.
Hey, Bernie.
Paul.
Hey.
It's Marcia Fox.
Oh, Marcia. Bernie jumped on right before you, so if you could hold for just a moment, and then we'll hear from you, Marcia.
Sure.
Go ahead, Bernie.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I can't remember who just said it, but about the ability to get out on this call. It helps you grow so much. It's been helping me. Sitting here listening is helping me, but also having the intestinal fortitude to get out here and actually speak has been one of my huge shortcomings in life. And also with concentrate my brain here. People thinking that being rich is bad. I run into that a lot here in Montana. And a lot of people who think that, such as with our people running for president who are very wealthy, it's like, well, he should be paying more taxes, he should be doing this. And I'm like, you guys are hitting the nail on the wrong head. You know, you're damning him for working hard and doing what he's doing and living the laws and abiding by the laws, and you're saying, well, he should be giving it all away to somebody else. And it's like, well, maybe he should be helping more, but don't damn him for being smart and using his brains to further himself and his family, and learn from him instead of, you know, damning someone else for having more.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yes, getting out on the call does help you grow immensely. So everybody get out there and talk.
And you do such a great job. I mean, you there's fear there, but you step out and do such a great job, and then you remind yourself that, wow, I do have things of value, and I do a good job. So it does help you grow. It really does. Thank you, Bernie.
Thank you.
Marcia, go ahead, please.
Hi, Paul. First, I like to say about what the book is saying, that for you to be, happy, you have to have money. I kind of disagree with that. Not I need money, but the first thing that came to my mind is Mother Teresa, you know, and, she really didn't need that to be, you know, to be happy. And the other thing that I want is to ask a question, because I have been debating about the purpose, the definite, the purpose in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And in your affirmation, you mentioned that you're here for a purpose. Is the purpose is to grow into a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's kind of I needed to be more specific.
Mm-hmm.
So what suggestion you would give, or other people's suggestions that they would, you know, come with other different purpose?
That's a great question, and my recommendation is that everybody start with their major definite purpose being expressed in terms of a dollar amount, and that's what Napoleon Hill recommends. So with your major definite purpose, when you start your affirmation, I believe should be, by the first day of such and such date, I will have in my possession X amount of dollars, and then so on and so forth. And some people might say, well, gosh, it's not all about money. And I agree, it's not. And money is not the purpose of your life. However, as Jim Rohn said, we start with money because money we can count, so we can, you know, see how we're doing, and we can see how we're growing. The second reason I think it's important is because in order to generate more income in your life, you have to grow. And then through that growth process, what's going to happen is you're going to have further self-discovery. And just an example of what happened to me, I started with that major definite purpose of, by the first day of June 2010, I will have in my possession $3,000 monthly residual income. That was my purpose. That was my major definite purpose. And then what happened as I started to think about plans, and I started to take action, and I started to work with people, I started to better understand myself, and I started to develop more of my overall purpose, and that's where I started to come up with my mission statement, which is to inspire and empower the willing to lives of vision, planning, action, persistence, accomplishment, wealth, and contribution through a never-ending quest for the discovery and the application of truth. See, that to me, that's my mission, and that sounds a lot better to me than just making money, but I had to start with the making money in order to discover what my purpose was. And it's a growth process. I mean, I don't think we'll ever come to a point where we're like, okay, this is it, and this is, you know, what I'm about. Maybe we will. I don't know. I think it's a continual process of self-discovery. But as a rule, if you're just getting started doing these things, or you're really trying to understand, okay, what is my purpose? What am I going to repeat to myself on a daily basis? I think it's vital that you do start with Napoleon Hill's suggestion. Start with that dollar amount. But I could be wrong. I'd love to hear any other thoughts. Go ahead, Marcia.
Well, my thing is about the word. Maybe in my mind, purpose has a different meaning. That is a goal, and you know, and maybe this is using like synonyms, but for me they are different. The purpose. So if I say that is my purpose, then it's I can't even see that. You know, it puts like a blind to me. This is, I can't see that as my purpose. If I say it is a goal, then yes, I can put it as a goal, you know, is, but not my purpose, definite purpose.
Paul, I understand what both of you are saying.
Melvin, please, let's let Marcy finish. She was still talking here, and then we'll get to you if that's okay.
I just wanted to add what Marcy's saying, though. I don't want to take away from that. What Marcy's saying right now is beautiful, and I totally understand it. And you were saying the same thing. I'm just trying to tie the two of you together. And what you just stated, Paul, was so beautifully stated in terms of it being a starting point. It helps get you rolling. And as you got rolling, you came into a greater understanding of who you are and what your real purpose is.
Mm-hmm. Mhm. Good. Yes. Exactly. You know, in business, we're most of us on this call are in business, and one of the purposes of business is to generate income, and I think that's another reason why setting your major definite purpose as a dollar amount is important, because everything you do in your business, yes, there's a greater good, yes, there's all of these things that are wonderful, enhancing the lives of others and bringing value and all of these things, but if we're not engaging in income producing activities, then that is a direct measurement of how much value we are providing and how many people we are helping. So I don't know, Marcia, the dollar amount is just a really good starting point because you can track your progress. Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I thought I was missing something, but now I see it. No, I just needed to change purpose to go for me to accept that, you know, in my affirmation. Maybe that's, you know, my definition of purpose. Maybe it's wrong, or the one that I have, you know. Maybe it's a language problem, because purpose in my language would be something, you know, higher. And you cannot put that as something as goal. That maybe that's what it is. So I would just that. I appreciate it, because I was confused. I think, gosh, what is my purpose? I cannot be that. You know, it's something wrong here. But I got that. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Marcia. Great
Paul?
Question.
Hey,
yes.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
Yes. This is Michael in Maryland.
Hey, Michael.
I'd just like to speak up on this point. I guess the first place I want to start is that, you know, we need to remember that success is not a destination. It's a journey. And all of us on this call started out at different levels, you know, of understanding what we're doing and where we're going. And it's a process. Like, the person that's probably most advanced on the call, and I'm not going to call no names because I don't know who that person is, because I've only been on the call a short time, and because we're all growing, so we're all at different levels. But the point is, like Melvin, you know, pointed to, is that it's a plan, and then you do, and then you review your plan, because the plan that you started with is not going to be the plan that you're going to end up with. Because that plan is going to evolve as you evolve. Like right now, I may be able to only afford a Volkswagen. So I'm thinking in them terms. But I'm wanting more. But when I get more, then I can think bigger terms. And I remember hearing people talk about, you know, being rich and, you know, that's a bad thing. Well, you could have all the good intentions you want, and you want to help all the people you want, but if you don't have any money or any way to help that person, you're just giving advice. and I'm not saying advice is a bad thing, but to help people, you got to have some resources. You got to be able to either create jobs or create an opportunity where people can move forward. And we have to play by the rules. I mean, there are rules that are set up. You may not like the rules, but do you want to give yourself an unfair advantage? Because I'm going to speak on this one thing about, you know, Warren Buffett. You know, they talked about him in the president's speech about how he pays less taxes than his secretary. Well, it may not be what he wants to do, because he does other things. You know, he gives away money. He probably gives away more money I've ever made to charity, to the charities that he supports. But if the system is going to allow you to do things to where you can lower your taxable amount, I mean, that's why, number one, that's why I'm in business. I decided that since I can't change the rules, I'm going to at least play in the game, you know, start a home-based business so I can take advantage of tax deductions that they allow, things that they allow. So even though I really believe he's entitled, I mean, he's in favor of raising the tax on the wealthy. But they have to change the rules for everybody. Not just one, you know, because if you stand up and you just be the sacrificial lamb, that may be all you are. You may not change the system. You might just go down in the fight. So just remember that, you know, we're all evolving. And where we are today won't be where we are going to be a year from now. You know, we're going to all be thinking higher next month, 6 months from now, a year from now. We're going to all be on a higher level, a different plane of where we are today. So with that, I'll turn the call back over to you. Thank you.
Very, very, very good comments. Thank you so much. Yeah, really appreciate those thoughts.
Warren, Paul, can you hear me better this morning?
Yeah, I can hear you better,
fantastic.
Rick.
Fantastic. What I got to say this morning, real short and quick and simple. I want to get back to the book Think and Grow Rich real quick, because everything you guys talking about is obviously skipped over the real reason for this book. And this book is about thinking. You know, faith is the basis of all miracles. Faith is the only known antidote for failure. It's the only known antidote for failure. It's the eternal elixir, which gives life, power, and action to the impulse of thought. When you think about loving somebody, there's a certain amount of feelings that go in there. When you get feeling what you feel, if you don't feel anything when you're talking, that means you got to work harder at it. Because you have to create a feeling. A feeling is what makes the speed up the action. If you say you love somebody but you don't feel it, guess what you're going to get? Everybody is at one point upset that in their life and never really meant it. But when you mean it, that feeling creates an action that's indescribable. Okay? But it's very important. You got to get right back to a thinking level. Money is made by man. The most powerful riches you have is the one in your mind. What the mind can think of and believe, it can conceive. You got to get that cemented in your brain, galvanize it in your brain, and believe it. Lie to yourself if you have to. If everybody's been telling you the truth, go the opposite direction and lie to yourself. Whatever it is, but feel it, okay? I'm telling you, whatever I set my heart in and go and I feel it, nobody can stop me, okay? That's because I feel it. Nothing else can penetrate that. When you have a real love for somebody, nothing can penetrate that. That's all I want to say. Get right back to thinking. It's about thinking. Money, man made it. We can make anything we want. Computers are your slave. I've been in computers for 30 years. It's a slave to me. I use it to do whatever I want. Computers are not powerful. We thought about that. You can become anything you want. And don't let anybody tell you different. Feel it. Everybody on this phone call loves somebody and they know what that feels like. Well, you transmute everything else. Napoleon Hill, his only thought was you can think and believe it, you can achieve it. It's real. It's not just the way it sounds. You know it. You know it growing up as a kid, and you should know it now. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
I feel your words, Rick. That was powerful. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Still got some time left here.
Hey, Paul, I just wanted to say real quick, when it comes to books, that you can learn something from all books. There's not a book out here that you cannot learn something from. I don't care what book that is. It can say something the wrong way, and you can think about it and realize that it's wrong and even gain something from that. But with that being said, I think Think and Grow Rich is probably one of the most balanced books that I've ever read, in the sense that it's kind of like what he was just talking about. You learn to be rich in a total sense. It's not just being rich materially, but rich in mind, body, and spirit. A total richness is what that book helps to bring about, where I think the Bible takes you a little bit too much in one direction, and the book we were just speaking about takes you in another direction. And so balance is the key. And you, like I said, you can gain something from every book, but I think Think and Grow Rich is about one of the most solid pieces of material that I've ever read, all contained in that sense. Back to you, Paul.
Thanks, Melvin. As always, great comments. Really appreciate those words of wisdom. Yes.
I haven't spoken this entire call except when I read from the beginning, because I wanted to count how many people came on here, and I'm happy to report that 12 of you spoke up. That's unusual. We usually have just only four, five, or six. So that means today we doubled the amount of people that spoke up. So give yourself a pat on the back, an applause. I mean, seriously, you got on the call. You feel better about it now. I mean, this is what I spoke about in the beginning of this call. So congratulations to you, to those of you that did speak up, and we hope to hear from others soon. I just want to read one little passage here, and then I'll go away again. I do the thing I fear, and death of fear is certain. I act enthusiastic, and I become enthusiastic. I form the habit of doing the things that failures will not do. I'm not judged by the number of times I fail, but by the times I succeed. And the number of times I succeed is in direct proportion to the number of times I can fail and keep on trying. I just wanted to say that The Science of Getting Rich is a great book also. Remember, that was the first chapter. I believe Wallace Wattles, as the author, is setting us up for what the future of the book holds. And certainly not riches is all about money. Obviously not. We're just getting into the book. And I believe that you'll really love The Science of Getting Rich. It was the book that was being read when I first came on this call 4.5 months ago. And I believe it has just as many wonderful residual effects on the mind and the body and the soul. I believe that we will all love it as well. It's very powerful, and I'm very excited about Paul picking it. We both agreed to pick it as the next book to read. So I really think everybody's going to love it and really get into it. Certainly, Think and Grow Rich is the Bible I'll carry around forever now, but and I'll probably have to read it 75 more times. But in all seriousness, I think we'll love this book as well. So that's it. Back to you.
Thank you, Bill. I'm glad you mentioned those words. This was just the first chapter, and there is some really, really good stuff in this book. So definitely stay with us, people. Anyone else want to hop out? We got about 3 minutes here before we are going to close out.
Paul, this is Joy.
Hey, Joy.
How you doing?
Awesome. Better now to hear you.
I just wanted to put out there, you know, we don't want to judge those that have money because you do not even know if they live off of 10% and give 90%.
Exactly.
And how do we help others if we don't have money? I, as a single mom, have a passion to help the other single moms that just got started and don't know where to go. And how do I give them the inspiration? They watch me, and then they can take action. So it's not always just all about the money, but to putting it out there to help others with that money, we have to have those resources.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great point. You reminded me of a wise statement I heard from an individual who wrote an incredible talk on pride. And he said that there's pride in two forms, and oftentimes we don't recognize one of the forms. We always think that the rich are prideful. We think the people that have money, they're prideful, they look down on us, and they think they're better than us. But this talk that I read pointed out that there is also pride from the bottom looking up. You know, there's a pride that says, you know, the people that don't have money are looking at the people that do have money and saying to themselves, oh, they have money, so I'm better than them. So I just appreciate that, Joy. Be very careful about judging anybody. We shouldn't judge anybody, period. So that is a great line from the Bible, don't judge. I think that's good counsel. Thank you, Joy. Anyone else?
I would like to hear from Dr. Fran.
Is Dr. Fran on the line? Dr. Fran Clark, are you on the line, sir?
I think he's sleeping this morning, Paul.
All right, we're going to have to put him in a headlock and rub his head and give him little noogies on his head. for not being on the call. We'll get him back tomorrow. Well, listen, everyone, I really appreciate the discussion here. I do, really do love each of you. I do believe in you. I do believe you have power within you. And I'm so excited that we can use this forum to really help each other learn to think on a higher plane and therefore achieve a higher level of results in our lives. Let's get out there and make it a great day. Have a wonderful weekend. Come back Monday morning and bring a friend. All right? Thanks for everyone's contribution. Have a great day.
Make it